Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, from the 19th chapter. As Pastor Rachel mentioned at the beginning of her children's message, Jesus and his disciples are on their way up to Jerusalem, but they need to pass through Jericho first. After Jericho, it's all uphill to Jerusalem. Jericho is a large city. And there we hear the story of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. 19th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Here ends the reading of the gospel. These words speak the power of life, and they may be trusted. Amen. I had someone ask me last week, "So when are you going to do that cartwheel?" You see, I had promised that if we met our pledge goal for 2018, I would do a cartwheel in church, during worship, in my robe. And truth be told, I was a little bit relieved when we did not meet our goal. But then I had, let's call it, a little conversation with God this week. It went something like this. "So Ben, are you going to do that cartwheel?" "No." "Why not?" "Because we didn't meet our goal." "Mm-hmm." "So who set that goal?" "Me and a few of the trustees." "Uh-huh. And did you have enough, you know, last year to run the church?" "Yeah." "Did you even have a little bit of a surplus when it all came down to it?" "Yeah." "And you didn't meet your goal, but was there a good response with regard to the pledge drive?" "Yeah." "And do you think that you can trust that there will be enough this year?" "Yeah." "Do the cartwheel, Ben." Brooke, you have our insurance card? Got it? Okay. I thought maybe if that didn't go well, I wouldn't have to preach my sermon. Apparently, thank you, Tim, from the bass section. Okay. Good. Okay.
Tough judge.
I thought
Maybe not perfect, but yeah, okay, okay. You know that children's song, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. Do you know it? And I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord, right arm or whatever. Now, it's couched in very male-centric language, right? We could just as well sing of Sarah's daughters or Abraham and Sarah's transgender children, grandchildren, ancestors. What does that mean to say that, that we are Abraham's children, that we are Sarah's children? What does that mean to say that? I realize that I honestly didn't know. And in exploring the text this week, I think I might have remembered. You see, to be a child of Abraham, according to the Hebrew Scriptures, is to be part of a community of people that live out of a trust in God's abundance. That God and no other will be the one to provide. That there is no earthly power that is going to provide us what will make us ultimately secure and healthy and sane and loved. To be a son of Abraham, a daughter of Sarah, means to remember that you are part of a community that trusts deeply in God's ability to provide again and again and again. But we forget. We get compromised. We start looking for our security in other places. Zacchaeus is a case in point. Throughout the history of Israel, there were very few moments in the history when they weren't under the thumb of some oppressive power. Whether it was the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Egyptians, the Israelites were always having to serve some greater empire. They were just a little people. And so the temptation was forever before them to forget who they were and start thinking that they were who the empire told them that they were. And the greatest temptation was there for those who were organized and good communicators, perhaps had a bit of education, perhaps were good with math, people who would make great tax collectors. Zacchaeus isn't just a tax collector. He is a chief tax collector, which means he has a bunch of underlings underneath him. You see, he is a Jew living in Jericho, but he's working for the Romans. They're the ones who are in charge. If you ever doubt it, you just look around and you'll see the soldiers making sure that everything is running smoothly according to Roman law. And there is Zacchaeus saying, huh, you know, I don't know that we're going to overthrow this empire anytime soon, so maybe I'll just make the most of it. So he shows up and says, hey, I heard you were looking for some tax collectors, and I know taxes need to be collected, and I'm your guy. In fact, I can even manage some others who will go out and collect your taxes for you. You know how it worked, right? The Romans would say, this is how much you need to collect from each of the households, and anything extra that you decide to collect, you can keep for yourself. Can you imagine how despised those tax collectors were by their fellow Jews, their neighbors, who knew that extra little bit that was being collected, they didn't have to collect. At least not that much. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus is getting rich off of the taxes of his neighbors. He was a conniving conspirator. A colluder with the empire and very comfortable because of it. But then this man Jesus came to town, and he was followed by some disciples, and there was something about him that drew the crowd, something about the way that he spoke about the kingdom, the way he spoke about Jewishness, the way he healed people by listening to them and laying his hands on them and speaking a word of God to them in such a way that things happened that couldn't really be explained. And yet the crowds continued to gather. It seems just to be in his very presence filled one with a sense of hope, possibility, and peace. To be close to Jesus was to be close to God again. Perhaps that's what Zacchaeus sensed. Lonely as he must have been, despised by the rest of his community. And there are a few details in the story that tell us the lengths to which Zacchaeus went to catch just a glimpse of Jesus. It says he ran on ahead. In that culture, for a grown man to run, let alone do a cartwheel, was seen as disgraceful, not to mention to climb a tree. When was the last time you saw a grown man climb a tree just to get a view of something? And it was a sycamore tree, and I wondered, why a sycamore tree? What's the meaning of that? It was an evergreen tree that would have had low, broad branches, which would have made it easy to climb. It was also a tree that produced an inferior type of fig. Now, I'm not a botanist like some people, but that's what I read in a commentary. And whether it's true or not, the point is that the sycamore tree is something that is a tree that is associated with the poor. So here is Zacchaeus, who has all of the money and wealth and privilege that he could possibly need, and he runs on ahead, climbs up a tree, the tree of the poor people, in order to get a view of Jesus. And Jesus, in the midst of the crowd, we don't know how he did it, just turns and looks and calls him, Zacchaeus! In Hebrew, the word Zacchaeus means pure. Pure one. Zacchaeus? Come on down here. I'm coming over to your house for dinner today. Can you imagine the response of the crowd? We have the little hints of it in that word grumbling. But he's going to go over and he's going to have dinner at his house, but he's a sinner. He was just there last week and he took money from us. He didn't have to take that. The grumbling. You've heard the grumbling. You all belong to a church. You've heard the grumbling, right? But Zacchaeus, something has turned in his heart so that he goes right up to Jesus. He has a certain joy about him, something that he hasn't felt in years. And he said, I will give half of what I own to the poor. And if I have defrauded anybody, anything, I will pay back four times as much. Do you hear what happens right there? Zacchaeus, in that moment, remembers who he is. Specifically, he remembers Exodus 21, where it says, if you steal a sheep, you've got to pay back four sheep in return. Zacchaeus remembers his Jewishness. He remembers that he is not who the empire says he is. And it is confirmed by Jesus' words where he says, this one is no less a son of Abraham. I think you can boil down the work of the church to this, to reminding people, to reminding each other that we are not what the empire says we are. We are not what advertising says we should be. We are not what money says you are worth. We are not what the various titles of prestige say that you are. We are something altogether different. sons of Abraham, daughters of Sarah, kindred of Christ. And it is constantly the work that we have to do, which is why we have to hear, wade in the water, again, to remember our baptism. That in baptism, we die to all of the other voices and definitions that want to put us in a box, and we are freed to be fully ourselves in Christ. That's why we have to answer questions like, who are you, a child of God? And why we have to repeat it, because we forget, or we start just going through the motions, and we have to remember that we are the body of Christ, and that we're not here for something casual or sentimental. We're here for the very formative work of allowing ourselves to be called back to who we are. And remembering who we are, we then overflow from this place and we help other people, and it doesn't matter whether you're Christian or not, to remember that in the depth of your humanity, you are created to be a blessing. So on this Sunday of our annual meeting, we don't meet just to get some business done, though hopefully we will get some business done, but we meet to be called back yet again to who we are, the church, remembering its baptism, remembering its blessing, sons and daughters, children of Abraham and Sarah, kindred of Christ. Amen.